Book of Philemon. All right. Amen. All right. We've made it to the end. We've made it to the end of Philemon. It's been a good journey. And so here we are on the seventh message. So I figure the number of completion. And here we are going to complete it. It only took us 7 weeks to do 25 verses. Amen. So that's pretty good, you know, averaging 3.5 verses a week. Anyway, sometimes it just goes like that. I intentionally spread it out to fill this time in until we have our missionaries are going to be with us primarily in the Sunday mornings. They'll be here doing Sunday school and the morning service. I've done it this year this way for a couple of reasons. Most of them are going to just be with us on the Sunday morning, and so they come in, they'll get here Saturday night, and they'll be with us Sunday morning, and then they could go somewhere for the Sunday night. And so we're really just kind of taking care of them for one day, and they can go on and go to another church. We've got a couple that'll be staying a little bit longer, but it kind of helps us financially not to keep them too long this time around. And also it helps them that they can maybe connect with some other churches in the area. In the future, what we're going to do, probably next year, we're going to have more of a standard missions conference, which will be probably like a Wednesday through a Sunday, and we'll have maybe two or three families with us every night. And so we get to really get to know them a lot better even, and so which is part of our goal. I mean, our goal is to get to know them. So kind of doing some different things. I just felt like this first year doing this would be we could get, you know, four different missionaries and then a speaker to come in, and kind of we get a little bit broader exposure that way. And so and then we do have, I think there's one of them staying for the evening service, and of course the Webster's will as well. And I do like almost, I let missionaries know if at all means possible, I want the families here. I want us to meet their families. A guy can put on his best behavior by himself. No, I'm kidding. But we want to meet the family. You know, we're going to hear about them later on. And so if we got a face to go with that name, and so somebody says, you know, My daughter, you know, little Susie over here is sick. When we hear something's going on in her life, we know her. You know, we say, how well do we know her? Well, that's up to us, isn't it? And we got to take a little time to try to get to know them as best we can for that. Philemon, verse 20, find your place there. If we stand together once again, then I'm going to let you sit for the next hour and a half. And no, it won't be that long. Won't be that long, but it's going to be longer than you want. For some. And for some, it won't be long enough. That's always the way it is. Some are like, Pastor, why don't we just go preach longer? And I'm like, well, because there's about 3 or 4 people sleeping already. Right? And anyway, I'm kidding. Maybe. Verse 20. Bible says, yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are so very thankful for this time this morning, thankful for the privilege that we have to be gathered together. And Lord, I thank you for this people, Lord, that you called out together and placed here in this place. And Lord, we are missing some this morning that are out sick and others away for other reasons, things. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless us this morning. Pray for those that are not well. Pray that you'd give them health and strength. And think about Brother Eddie this morning. Pray that you would give him recovery. And then for Brother Doug there, pray that you'd touch his body as well and give him strength through this time. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, have your will and way now in our service this morning. Speak to our hearts. Lord, we need to be stirred by you and through your word and in this direction. We'll give you thanks for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So, Paul has appealed to love already. We see that in the letter. He talks about for love's sake. He's talked about the cost of forgiveness. You know what it would cost. And you know, he put that on my account, he said. You know. And then he's pressed Philemon beyond comfort. We've kind of seen these things. And I was going to bring this letter to a resolution. You know, it's interesting when you think about a letter written that is breathed by the Holy Spirit. I mean, this is a man writing a letter to another man, being directed by the Spirit of God to put it in there, that it becomes the Word of God. I mean, so when we write a letter, we're like, I got some things to say, and I want to say it. You ever wrote a letter, and then after you wrote it, maybe now it's a little more common, you know, like a text or an email. You ever wrote an email, and you look at that email, and you're like, let me reread that, and you're like, no, I need to say this. And you just kind of keep working it over, right? It's because you wanted to say exactly what you wanted to say, exactly what you wanted to say. And sometimes you ever sent something, and then you later on look back, and you're like, oh, why didn't I check that a little bit better, right? So, man, wouldn't it be great to have the Spirit of God breathing your words so you never mess up? Man, that's kind of what we find here. And so we find some things there he deals with. And so, you know, he dealt with these things, the love and the cost and the being pressed beyond comfort. But now that we're going to see this wrapped up here this morning. And he doesn't go back and repeat the appeal again. That he's trying to get with Onesimus and so forth. But he begins to deal with something at the end that's an interesting thing. By making this assumption or acting as though Philemon's obedience is already settled. So he said, I know you're going to. I have confidence in thy obedience that I wrote unto you, knowing that you'll do more than I say. You know what he's really saying? I've got no question. I've got no question that this is going to land well with you. How many people do you know like that? Do you know people that you're like, no, I think they'll respond really well to this. I think they will. Probably. And then you're kind of like, well, maybe I'll back off a little bit in case I'm wrong. And you're like, I know that, you know what I mean. The Apostle Paul, he can't decide what somebody else is going to do. And by the way, we don't have what happened after this. We don't have the answer. Right? That's not the point. But I want to preach a message this morning. It's really this expectant obedience. Obedience. So point number one is this. Paul plans on obedience being real. He plans on the obedience being real. Look at verse 22 with me. He says, but withal, prepare me also a lodging. For I trust that through your prayers, I shall be given unto you. So, let me say this first. Paul was where? He's in prison. And so he's saying here that through your prayers, I'm going to be given unto you, which means I'm going to be released. He said, I believe I'm going to be released. I don't think just because he believed it was going to be like that didn't mean it's going to be like that. And so we don't, you know, find all these things necessarily. But what Paul was saying is this wasn't small talk. This is not just travel planning. You know, you ever planned a vacation that you never took? I'm a planner. Sometimes, you know what I found? Planning is sometimes more fun than the event itself. right? Anticipation, maybe I've talked about this in the past, sometimes I've found the anticipation of something sometimes is better than the actual thing itself. Oh, we're looking forward to this trip. We're going to go on this trip. It's going to be so great. We're going to go see family. Oh, we're going to have such a great time. Then you go visit family. You're like, remind me never to go visit them again. So we had a good time planning and looking forward to that, right? That's not what this is. This isn't just travel plans of what could be coming. No. Paul is doing something very decisive here. He's setting his plans. He's making his plans based on his expectation of Philemon's obedience. It's what he said. No. He said, I know this is what you're going to do. You're going to do more than I even say. And so prepare me a place there. He doesn't say something like this. He doesn't say, if you obey, here's what I'm going to do. Paul assumes Philemon will. So this isn't a loaded request. So what I mean by a loaded request, sometimes what we'll say is we do this, right? Now, if you'll do this, then I'll do this, right? We tell our kids, if you clean your room, later on we'll have ice cream, right? And they come up and you're like, and you've used their labor as, you've used the ice cream as a way to persuade them for the labor, right? So they're like, oh, Mama, can we have ice cream now? Just clean your room, right? We kind of have this, we're using that leverage in a way. It's kind of a forced thing, and they really want ice cream because what kid or adult doesn't? Weird ones don't like ice cream. I'm just going to be right there with that. So they're there, and you're going to this thing. So Paul wasn't saying to Philemon, if you will respond this way, I'll come see you. All right, I guess I'll forgive him and so that you'll come see me. No. That's not what Paul is saying here. He wasn't trying to give some contingency. He says, I'm coming. I know you're going to do this. He said, I expect you to follow through with this. He doesn't say, should this work out? Hoping it works. No. Listen, Paul knows that forgiveness will produce joy and refreshing. That's just the way it works, folks. Well, I forgave him. It didn't work out. Did you? We've talked about forgiveness enough. I'm not going to go back on that. So he says this. He says, prepare me a lodging. Right? Prepare me a lodging. And so Philemon's going to build a room for him. No. What he's just saying is, get the bed made up. No, he's just saying, prepare me. I'm coming. I don't think in this day they set dates. When you're coming. Well, I'm coming. Just prepare. What he's saying is, I'm expecting obedience. Expect me to come. And here's, I think maybe this is in there on this, part of this letter and part of this intent. Maybe Paul said something like this, I'm coming to fulfill what I said I would. Put that on my account. I'll pay it. Right? So what he talked about there, in verse 18 he says, if he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. So I think maybe Paul is saying, listen, prepare for me. I'm coming. I'm coming and I'm going to fulfill what I said I would because I so expect for you to do what's right that I'm going to do my part. So Paul assumes that the reconciliation will occur. He's just, that's going to happen. And that the partnership is going to be joined into. We're going to be, this is what's going to happen. He's just that kind of, I love that whole tenor of that. Do things always work out the way we wanted them to? No, but I'd rather be hopeful. It ain't going to work. Why even try? Amen. Right? I love that expectation. Here's the thing. I'd rather have confidence in people to do the right thing than have doubt that they're going to do the wrong thing. Right? Isn't that just so much better? Well, you know, people fail you. I know. And I'll fail people. But let's put some hope and expectation in folks. Paul expects, though, the obedience in Philemon that is real enough to be lived out. Watch this. Not just decided on. Okay? Sometimes what we do is we make a choice, a decision, and all it ever is a decision on paper to say, you know, as figure of speech. Oh yeah, I'm going to do that. How many times have people come to this altar and said, God, I want to do this, and by the time they hit that back door, it was done. They didn't even ever remember it again. How many people have we talked? Yeah, how many ever have this? I'll come to church with you on Sunday. Right? And then you never seen them again. Right? And so we can tend to make decisions. Yeah, I really should do that. God, I'm going to do that. And then we never do. So Paul expected this to be, he expected this to be real enough to be lived out. This to be a decision, not just decided on, but something to be lived out. Brings to point number two is this. Obedience is expected to become visible. Okay? Obedience is expected to be visible. And this is what he says here. But withal, prepare me also a lodging. Okay? That I may... a lodging. Paul's request means something very important. This matter is not going to remain private. Okay? It's going to be visible. It's going to be something we're going to see. It's not going to remain theoretical. Well, in theory, I've forgiven him. In theory, we're going to move on with this. No. No, when we are challenged by the truth of the Word of God, it's not meant to be answered in some sort of internalized concept. Okay. When the Word of God speaks to me about something, and I say this is what God wants in my life, but I'm gonna keep it to myself. Because if I tell anybody, they're gonna do what? They're gonna hold it against me. They're gonna keep me accountable. They're gonna bring it up again. So I think I'm just gonna keep it quiet, right? God has called me to the ministry, but I don't want anybody to know because I might change my mind. If I change my mind, I don't want somebody coming up and say, well, I thought God did that. Well, you know, I was wrong, right? I changed my mind about not knowing what God said. Now, I thought I knew what God says, but I was wrong, and now I know what God says, and now I'm right. Isn't that funny how people do that stuff? And sometimes we make a decision, it's like, I just want it between... It's just between me and the Lord. Except that's not really how the Lord works, is it? God isn't intended to keep something between you and Him quiet and private. He wants it to become public. Right? It changed your life. And people see something in your life that's noticeably different so that He can get the glory. Right? Well, I'm just between me and God. No. Listen, it's meant to be. It's not meant to be an internalized concept. It isn't some personal decision that we just make and don't live out. I'm going to tell you what. If you make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ and you don't live it out, you didn't make a decision. Okay, you thought about something. God convicted your heart, and you might have said, "Yep, I've decided I'm going to start doing that," and then you don't. If you don't live it out, just settle now. Here's the thing. If you make that decision, but it doesn't change your life, then you didn't really make the decision. Okay? That's not how it works, really. It's not some personal decision that we just make but don't live out. It doesn't work like that. Paul believed that this matter would not remain unresolved by Philemon. No. He believed it would. Listen, Paul was going to be coming. Paul was going to be coming. Not to check and confirm. I'm going to come check on you, buddy. It's kind of, this letter is the whole conversation. The whole conversation is Paul said, listen, here's what needs to happen, and here's why you need to do it. And you know, I don't really even need to say that, I love he says this back there. I can't find it right there, but he says at one time, he says, you know, I don't need to say that, verse 19. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self beside. I'm not going to say where you even owe me your own salvation. I'm not going to even say it. You like that rhetoric there? Hey, if he owes you something, I'm going to come pay it. I'm not even going to mention how you owe me your whole life. It feels a little bit dirty, doesn't it? But that's the Word of God. Sometimes we get in our head what should be right and what shouldn't be wrong based on our own current culture and climate. And well, you've kind of let it up and then you've kind of, you know, you kind of chased it back to you. No, Paul is trying to say something here. It's kind of like what we talked about in Sunday school. God's done something for us. For us to do that same thing, that's just right. It's just the right thing. And he said, listen, I'm not even going to bring up that you owe me your own life. Hey, if you could help me, I'll take care of it. I'm not even going to mention how I've helped you before. Doesn't that feel? It feels a little bit in our. There's a lot to atone in there, isn't it? But we got one side. We don't get the dialogue. We just get Paul laying this all out. And he's got to lay out the full thing because this is the Word of God. He's given. God, Spirit of God is going to put these. I wonder if Paul was like, man, I'm not sure if I should say that, and he does, right? And man, I would always respond to the Spirit of God like that. And that's why he's the Apostle Paul and he's written most of the New Testament. God used him in that way. And so Paul's going to be coming. It's not to check and to confirm. This isn't some kind of oversight to say, I want to let you know, I'm going to come and make sure you've done this. I don't think that's it. This is confidence with accountability. Did y'all hear what I said there? I believe you're going to do it. But I want you to know, on a decision, there's accountability. You know what we like to do a lot? So, many think, in our day and age today, that accountability is intrusive. It's none of your business. It's between me and the Lord. Right? None of your business. We don't really like accountability. That's, we're Americans. Right? We don't like anybody else telling us what to do. We tell other people what to do. And it's my business. And, you know, and so this idea of accountability is like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. I don't need you to watch over me and tell me to do it. But Paul is saying here, listen, I know you're going to do it. I expect obedience. I'm expecting that out of you because of your character and who you are and how you've been blessed. I expect that out of you. That's what he's saying. He said, but I'm coming. I'm coming. And with obedience comes some accountability. I don't want you to raise your hand. I want you thinking in your mind. Now, if I said this morning, how many people really like accountability? I'm telling you, the honest answer is very few. Or let me say it this way. We like accountability on the things we want accountability on. Hey, I want you to keep me accountable on being here for Sunday morning. If I miss, I want you to give me a call. Okay, I'll give you a call about Sunday night and Wednesday night too. No, just Sunday morning. You call about, hey, I missed your Wednesday. Yeah, I know, I don't come Wednesdays. Well, you said about keeping, no, I just think keep me accountable on everything. right? Or, hey, would you keep me accountable on reading the Word of God, prayer, right? Okay. Hey, you've been reading your Bible? Yeah, yeah. I know what you've been reading in your Word of God, and God's kind of, and in that passage, God's really talking about this, but I haven't seen you doing that. I didn't tell you to keep me accountable about what I do. I just wanted you to keep me accountable for that thing that I said you could keep me accountable. I'm going to give you license on what you can keep me accountable. That's how we like it. I love accountability on the things I want to be accountable for. Make sense? And then when somebody presses us beyond something that we're uncomfortable, it's all of a sudden it's intrusive. You know what I think is funny? I think this is funny. This is funny, ironic, I'm not sure the right term. But somebody, yeah, I like correction. I love accountability. I like correction. I like people. Man, that's awesome. Well, can I give you a few things? Yeah, that'd be great. And you give a thing. Hey, about this? Well, the reason I do that. Well, how about this thing? You know, this, you know, you ought to do. Well, I don't really like that. You start going down the list, and all of a sudden, you know what they reveal? I don't really like it at all. And if you don't stop, we ain't friends anymore. Man, it's funny. We're funny people. Humanity is so contrary to the Word of God, and while we think we're doing great. So people think it's intrusive. Accountability is intrusive, but I believe this morning, folks, the biblical picture is accountability for decisions made. Amen. I believe that's the biblical picture we find. You go read through the Bible from anywhere, you're going to find accountability for decisions made. I know there's some churches, people are like, yeah, I don't really like to be, I'll give to missions, but I don't want to be involved in that kind of thing. There's other people who say, well, you know, I'll tithe, but I'm not going to fill out a card. I'm not going to fill out a tithe envelope or something. Why not? Well, people might find out how much money I make. People know math. And they'll know 10%, they'll figure out how much I make. Then they're going to, if they know how much I make, they might then expect more out of me. Because that's what our treasurer does. Looks around. Okay. I see. Isn't that weird? You know, and I'll just say this as a little side note. The people that deal with our finances are people we choose on purpose. Right? Amen? Y'all with me? Because are there some people that might do that? Yeah, probably the one that's thinking like that. And so some people are like, well, I'll give to missions, but I don't like to follow that kind of pro. I haven't heard that here. So don't miss, I'm not. So if you're like that, change your heart. I don't even know I'm talking to you. Amen? Aren't you glad for that? But I've been in places where, like, you know, there's the faith promise commitment comes up at this amount. But yeah, we always get this. And I've talked about it. They said, yeah, there's some people, they just refuse. They don't like to get involved with that. Like, it was always weird to me. I'm like, why would they not? The church I was in, man, it was, when I first got saved, everybody, the thought of somebody not wanting to be involved would be, why? Are you like a visitor? Well, we just like to do our own thing. Well, you know we're called a body, right? It's a body to be fitly joined together, and you want to be amputated. It's weird. Sometimes people get this kind of thought in their head, but I'm going to tell you, it's like, a lot of times it comes down to accountability. Well, if I say I'm going to do that, then I'm going to have to do that. You know what? I think I want loose connection. I'll do what I'm going to do when I'm going to do it if I want to do it. Because that way it puts me in charge. You know, because I never know what's going to happen. Paul said, no, I'm going to come. I'm coming. Grace-led obedience doesn't hide. It becomes visible, right? It becomes visible. Point number three is this. Paul builds future ministry on present obedience. He says there in verse 22, as it goes on, he says, "For I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you." So Paul looks past the Onesimus situation. Right? He's looking past that. And he says, and on to continued fellowship in ministry. Listen, reconciliation is not the end of the story. Okay? Whew! We did that. No. It's the foundation for what comes next. I mean, this is the way God works. He builds on us. You ever felt like you just had this huge victory in the Lord? Like, I mean, this big thing that you just struggled with. Maybe some addiction, maybe some consistency, maybe some truth, and maybe somebody you talked to. You got over this big thing. You got a victory over this big thing, and you're like, whew! And then, like, the next couple days, something else comes up. And you're like, I thought I, you know, already won the lottery. I didn't know there was more. And God said, oh, sweetheart, right? Oh, buddy, come on. That was foundational. That now you can step into real stuff. And you're like, well, I've already done so much. God says, have you though? I mean, he doesn't say it like that, but that's kind of how I think he would say it, right? The reconciliation doesn't end. Man, that's the beginning. It's the foundation for to go for so much more of what they could do, what comes next. And Paul believed that Philemon's prayers for him would continue in this thing and that their partnership would deepen through this situation and that ministry would move forward. That's where he was coming from with this thing. Obedience today shapes the ministry of tomorrow. And that's the climax of this letter, of what he's dealing with. Paul is saying, in effect, this. I trust your response enough to plan what comes next. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? I'm leading up to something. And I got to wait till I get there. But y'all stay with me. Point number four. The work is bigger than one man. Look at verse 23. Therefore, salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. So Paul widens the frame one last time. He's given us this picture. He says, listen, though this letter was personal, the work was never individual. It's never been individual. It's a personal letter, but it's meant to be used and passed around, and here we are still reading it a couple thousand years later, right? Philemon's obedience matters because this was a point of record. And his obedience matters because it affects others, right? How we obey affects others. Listen, it strengthens the church. There's a church there at his house and this kind of thing. Listen, and it advances the gospel. Can I say that? I don't want to say just for a moment the other side, though this is the positive, but I just want to mention the negative for just a minute. When we don't, it affects others. Well, I just didn't want to, Pastor. And I don't feel like I have to. Whatever that is, you know, put whatever it is in that blank. I just don't feel like I have to. And I know you said, and I said, well, you know, it's just the Word of God. It's not me. You know, it's just the Word of God. Well, yeah, I know. I just don't feel like I'm ready for that. It's funny we're even talking about it if you're not ready for it, because evidently God convicted you about it at one point, right? But I don't really feel like I need to. And so, you know, when somebody begins to draw back, and it affects others. Affects the church. Weakens the church. Like, well, I just, you know, and it affects the ministry going forward. We are not an island. We are not individuals. That's not how God planned this whole thing. We're individuals with our own soul. But after that, it's a body, right? We are together on this thing. And so faithful obedience always connects us more deeply to the Word of God, not less. Let me say that again. Faithful obedience always connects us more deeply or deeper to the work of God, not less. Faithful obedience says to you, I'm just really made. I've heard people say stuff like this. I've got so many stories in my head that are just like people have said this stuff. You're like, people really said that? They've said this. Well, I just feel like I really need to start doing this for the Lord, so I'm not going to be in church as much. You're like, could you run that back? Let me record that and play it back to you. I really feel like I need to, God wants me to do this thing, some outside ministry or some kind of spiritual endeavor. I just feel like God wants me to really help these kind of people more. So I'll be about every other Sunday, I'll be gone, or I'll be missing this. And like, so God has given you something to do that takes you away from corporately worshiping. Is that right? Yeah, I think so. It's funny because we don't see that scripture, any kind of concept. By the way, I'm not just talking about church. Don't misunderstand. I'm not talking about just church. We go back to that a lot because it's easy something to just talk about in that sense. But the concept is, obedience, faithful obedience, always connects us deeper to the work of God, not less to the work of God. You say, well, I'm just going to focus more on my family. Okay, focusing more on your family doesn't take you from the work of God. It actually brings you deeper into it. Right? Well, I'm spending too much time going to church a few times a week. So we're going to have, these are stories people have told me. So, Sundays we're spending as family day. That's a good choice. That's going to be a blessing to your family. I heard a guy tell me in our church one day, he said, Pastor, I've just started, I changed my schedule so I could be home more with my family, but I'm going to have to work Sundays. I said, so you thought being home during the week, but not being with them at church was going to be better for them? Yeah. He said, I probably shouldn't have done that, should I? I'm like, it's weird. It's weird how we can get stinking thinking. And so we go through this thing. And so listen, faithful obedience draws us closer to the work of God. Number five. Paul leaves Philemon under grace, not pressure. Look at verse 25 now. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So, Paul doesn't end with instruction. He ends with provision. We've talked about this a lot in Sunday school, having the grace of God for this. But the same grace that saved Philemon has reshaped the authority in his life, and has reshaped his own authority, and pressed him beyond comfort, that same grace will now carry him forward. Right? The same grace that the Apostle Paul is encouraging him with is the same grace that he said, it's the same grace. That's what I want you to go forward with. Paul trusts grace to finish what love has begun. Right? Grace doesn't end when obedience begins. It sustains it. He compelled. He used love as a compulsion to say, "Listen, for the sake of love, for the sake of love for the Lord Jesus Christ." But love will only kind of maybe help us open the door. Grace is what sustains us and what God's called us to do. Here's our conclusion this morning. Here it is. I want to give a conclusion to this series. This series, this, through the book of Philemon, hasn't been about a movement. It hasn't not about a move, but about a decision. It's been really about this movement in the life of Philemon. And my hope, my trust is is that this letter that God has used for us to prepare us. That's my intention. So I've spent 7 weeks on this to prepare us to shape our faith, to show us love, but also to reveal the cost and to lift our eyes beyond ourselves. And press us beyond comfort. I like being comfortable. But I need to be uncomfortable at times. We don't grow in comfort. I like comfort. I want to be mostly there. I don't want to grow all the time. Like, that didn't sound very pastoral. Probably not. I'm just being honest. I like mostly comfort, but we need, if we're going to move beyond where we are, we're going to have some discomfort. So now the question is not whether obedience will happen in our lives, but what future ministry will be, what future ministry will be built upon our obedience. Amen? Just as Paul planned his next steps around Philemon's obedience, God intends to build future work upon ours. So here's our challenge this morning. Paul did not end this letter wondering what Philemon would do. He ended it expecting obedience that would shape the future. And that's where we're going to end as well this morning. Not with uncertainty, but with confidence that Heritage Baptist Church will do more in the future than we've already done in the past. So, is God able to build His next work on the obedience that He's formed in us? I think so. I think so. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be with our spirits as we move forward together, just as Paul said to Philemon. So, it's in that spirit that I want to lead us this morning to add a new missionary to our missionary family before we even begin our missions conference. On expectant obedience. You say, well, Pastor, what if I want to expect going forward. We had back in September, I believe, a great missionary family that was going to Taiwan. The Ray family. How many remember the Ray family? Y'all remember them? Yeah, they were awesome. They're headed, and I was just connecting with them this week, text him a little bit. I hadn't got on his prayer letter list because I wanted to go back and online. There, it's been since December, since the last one. And so I found out he's headed to the field in June. And I asked him, I said, do you have, how's your support going? I think I said it something like that. And he said, well, we're not really where we were hoping to be. But we're going in June either way. I like that kind of missionary. We're not waiting for all the money by sight. We're just going to go by faith. Anyway, I'd like us to begin supporting this missionary family right away, even before our faith promise missions commitment comes in. Because just like Paul, I have confidence in the willingness of this people to press forward in the ministry. Amen?
Amen.
I have that confidence. I do. So, who, by a raise of hands, is ready to take on the Ray family as our newest missionary? Amen? Amen. That's an overwhelming majority. It's not a business meeting. We don't need to have a business meeting for that, but I did want to I just feel like we want to see God do something in our midst. It's got to be more than sight. The Faith Promise Mission's commitment is, hey, we need to make a budget. If we're going to commit to people that are on the other side of the planet, we need to have a budget. Amen. But there's a part of this where we got to just trust God, just like the Apostle Paul did with Philemon. Prepare me. Lodging. I'm coming. I know you're going to do right. And so here's where we are. Let's trust God. I want us tonight, it's been a long morning. I want us this morning to have our invitation, maybe a little bit different. It's not quite the same kind of challenge we'd have as we wrap this up. But I want to use this this time of invitation this morning to, in each of our hearts this morning, we'd say, God, I want to do what you want me to do. And God, I'm not sure how you're going to give me a number of what you want me to do. But I want to do what you want me to do. And so let's each just pray this morning as the pianist comes to play. Let's, what do you need to stand this morning? Let's just maybe sit in your pew, maybe kneel, whatever you want to do. And let's ask God, what do you want me to do in my part?